attitude, by the way, you know, compared to, you know, because last year at this time, I was very optimistic, and, you know, and I was talking to you about it, and you felt like, yeah, I could see where 91 Braves could resurface in 2018, and that's exactly what happened. But now everybody understands that, and it's a different situation now as far as from the outside looking in about this Braves team.
Yeah, there's certainly obviously raised expectations given the season they're coming off of. And the guys in that clubhouse, to a man, will tell you that they don't care what anybody externally is saying. They feel like they had a 90-win team. They won the division, and they've gotten better with the likes of Josh Donaldson and Brian McCann and having Nick Markakis back. So I think that, you know, obviously the rest of the National League East has gotten a lot better. And it's funny because I was actually having this conversation with Tim Kirkjian yesterday, who was here in camp with ESPN, and we were talking about how much better, you know, this division has gotten and how competitive it's going to be. And he said, think about this. The Braves, Phillies, Nationals, and Mets have all drastically improved from a year ago, and one of those four teams is going to finish in fourth place. So it's really, you know, there's a definite, you know, air of confidence around this group. But they understand that they're going to definitely have their work cut out for them here in the new year.
You know, with that said, obviously this team could actually be better that's been put together in the offseason. At the same time, it may not be reflected as far as in the overall record.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, the Braves were so good against the National League East last year. I mean, you look at they had winning records against everybody in the division. So, you know, for that to happen again, I think is going to be a bit of a stretch. You know, again, this is a spot where you're going to have to really beat up on the Marlins when you play them. You cannot afford to have any kind of slip-ups against a team like that. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's, you know, this everybody feels like they've gotten better. And, again, Freddie Freeman sort of touched on this, I guess it was late last week or over the weekend, and he said, you know, everyone's saying we didn't do anything or we didn't do enough. Well, if we hadn't done anything, and then right before spring training we signed Donaldson, McCann, and Markakis, everyone's going to be saying, well, yeah, this is pretty good moves. It definitely, you know, looks like that's a team that's going to try to get better. But I think that, you know, given the fact two of those happened so early on, and I think fans were still hoping or maybe expecting they would add a frontline starter or maybe someone in the bullpen, that hasn't happened yet. But I wouldn't say that this is a finished product by any means, and I wouldn't rule out Alex Anthopoulos going out and bringing somebody else in or bringing two somebody else's in to make this team better. Again, I think that there's going to be some changes still made between now and opening day.
Well, and that's the part, too. I mean, you saw so many names last year not getting signed until well into spring training, right before openers. And that's the other part, too. If you're going to make these kind of moves, it seems like it'd be more important to do it now compared to wait too late, because if these individuals feel like they're behind as far as where they need to be with regards to spring training, sometimes they rush things, then they have the little nicks and other types of injuries, muscle pulls, whatever, and then all of a sudden now they're missing, you know, 5 or 6 weeks to pulled hamstrings or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and, you know, the good thing is at least in these days, you know, guys, this is probably the reason everyone in that clubhouse and 30 clubhouses in baseball will tell you spring training is too long, is because guys show up in shape. You know, they work out all year round. I remember talking to Don Sutton about this, and he was saying, you know, spring training used to be you would come, and once you got to spring training, once you got to camp, that's when you started working out. That's when you started really getting after it. Well, these guys, it's become such a year-round thing. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think as far as, you know, where they could look to add, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, guys have opt-out clauses or guys, you know, get cut off from other teams. I think that could be an area where, you know, guys would be, you know, taking part in another camp somewhere, kind of like what you saw with Anibal Sanchez a year ago where, you know, he became a free agent. The Braves swooped in, and what an addition that became when you think about all he accomplished last season. So that could also be an area where, you know, they're monitoring who may be, you know, cast away from other ball clubs and you know, who could fall into their lap. And again, that could be in the next week or two. That could stretch into the middle or late portion of spring as you get closer to the final week to 10 days before the opener.
Well, and there's a couple of names still out there. Craig Kimbrell, for one. I would certainly, you know, being the product of North Alabama from Huntsville, start his Major League Baseball career with the Braves. I would love to see him back. But there's also the factor that Bryce Harper could still end up in the National League East, and it would not really help the Braves too much if he ended up, let's just say, with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, I think everyone in Braves country is hoping he goes as far west as Manny Machado did, get him as far away from the National League East as possible. That is a big-time wild card out there. You know, when you start looking at and trying to evaluate the division race and how things could shake up in the National League East, Bryce Harper's future is still one where that could swing the balance of power one way or another, again, if it is here. But some fans I've talked to around the complex the last few days, they would not be sad if it was San Francisco or San Diego or somewhere where they'd only have to see him five or six times a year.
There's parts of me, yeah, great, and, you know, you talk about a player like that. There's also parts of me that says, yeah, go ahead and invest that kind of money in one guy because it certainly handicaps you for other options down the road for other positions.
Well, you know, it does, and you have to think, too, say the Braves case. I mean, you've got Freddie Freeman who will be a free agent in 3 years. You want to lock him up. You want to keep him around. You're going to have guys like Acuna and Albies down the road that eventually you're going to need to sign long-term. Same with Mike Fulton-Evich. So I think that, you know, when I talked to Alex Anthopoulos about this during the offseason, he said, look, you know, these long-term deals, they may look good on the surface. You know, 10 years and $300 million might look pretty good for the first 5 or 6 years. That being said, you also have years 7, 8, 9, and 10 you have to deal with. And, if it's not a deal – if it's a deal that doesn't work out, or if there's injuries, and we all know that's part of the game, it may really handicap you from doing certain other things down the road. So, there's some teams that'll take that risk, that'll take that gamble. There's others that won't, and that's why I think you have seen the Braves, pretty much out of the conversation for both those two guys. They just don't – they're not shopping in that aisle. Let's just put it that way.
With that said, though, they're not afraid to invest $23 million in Josh Donaldson. Here's a guy that won the MVP in the American League in 2015. Here's an individual. Four consecutive top 10 finishes as far as MVP voting in the American League. That's nothing to sneeze at either. And could you see where if Josh Donaldson gets comfortable as far as playing with this team – where you could see this is more than just a one-year situation with the Atlanta Braves?
I certainly could, absolutely. And I'll tell you this much, he's very comfortable around these guys, and they all are really enjoying being around him as well. You know, it's funny, the first few days of camp, things are kind of slow, they're kind of quiet when it's just pitchers and catchers. But last weekend, most of the position players who weren't already here early filed in, and you can already see why guys like Josh, they enjoy being around him. He's energetic. He's intense. It was fun watching him in the batting cages the first day he was here, just how he approaches, taking coach BP. I mean, it's really impressive the way he conducts himself. And I think that he's going to be a great asset to have, a great veteran presence for these young guys to lean on in the clubhouse. So, I could absolutely see a scenario. Look, he's comfortable here already. He's from, he's from the South. Went to Auburn. He was a Braves fan growing up. I think that this was a dream scenario for him, being reunited with his former general manager and Alex Anthopoulos. He's got the training staff as well that helped keep him on the field during that MVP season of 2015. So, yeah, I could definitely envision a scenario where he has a good year. He likes it here. Look, if he goes out and hits 30 to 40 homers, he's going to be an instant fan favorite. So Darren O'Day gave me a great bit about him as well, too. He said, you're going to see that guy's jersey dirty every single night. He lays it out, leaves it on the field every single night. So I think, again, those are the kind of guys that fans, if they're going well, you're going to fall in love with. And I expect him to have a really big year this season.
Let's talk about some of the former Vanderbilt products. First and foremost, Dansby Swanson, attitude, expectations out of Dansby this year as far as at shortstop.
Yeah, he's been good. A little bit slower to start the year. And the reason I say that, obviously, he's coming off that wrist injury at the end of last season that caused him to miss the playoffs. Had that loose body, a little surgical procedure back in November. He's good to go. The only thing he hasn't done here is live BP, but he's taking coach BP. I've been watching him field grounders. He looks fine. He's good. He told me yesterday he's good to go. He feels strong. But the Braves are taking their time with him. They're not going to rush him into Grapefruit League games, which, oh, by the way, start tomorrow.
I know.
Can't wait to see the Braves and the Mets out there tomorrow. So, we won't see him in the lineup for the first, week to 10 days. They're going to take it slow with him, but he'll have plenty of chances to get as many ABs as he feels like he's going to need to get him ready for opening day. So, again, there's some people probably reading a little bit more into this. It's just a situation where, they're going to err on the side of caution and take it slow. But I would say within the next 7 to 10 days, we'll see him out there in a game.
And then what about Kyle Wright, the former Vanderbilt pitcher as well?
Yeah, he was a fun guy to get to know last season. You know, he had a cup of coffee with the Braves last year and got a chance to come up and appear in a handful of games. And I think that was huge for his confidence. You know, when the Braves drafted him, I had a couple different folks tell me he was going to be a fast mover. He was going to go through the minor league system quickly. And you saw that, and you can see why. Pitching at a very high level obviously helped prepare him for, accelerating himself through the minor league system. And I think that he's coming to camp this year trying to win a spot. You know, the Braves right now have really one spot in the rotation and one, maybe two in the bullpen. That's really the only competition that's up in the air this spring. Positionally, they're in really good shape. And that's something that hasn't been the case the last few years. So I think that, he showed some really good things last year. I think that gave him a ton of confidence. And, these guys, when you get that experience, that sticks with you. That motivates you in your off-season workouts. That motivates you to come down to spring training a little bit earlier and get some extra work in and show that you could, break camp with the club. So, whether he does or not, probably leaning towards he'll start out the season in AAA. But, again, he's knocking on the door, and I like what we saw from him last season.
Having a chance once again to visit with Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network, with all the Hall of Famers are around, obviously, the former Braves greats. How much does that come into play, help like a Ronald Acuna, for example, dealing with the early success in his career?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, look, you have Andrew Jones who's here. He got here yesterday. And I remember it was a lot of fun to watch the way guys like Acuna and Christian Pache, another big-time outfield prospect for the Braves, kind of flocked to Andrew last year. Same can be said with Ender Inciarte. Those guys were all spending a lot of time together in the outfield last season. And I talked to Andrew about that yesterday. And he's also encouraged to work with guys like Johan Camargo and Austin Riley this spring. Two guys, infielders by trade, but they're going to get some looks in the outfield as well. Both those guys, of course, Camargo's season speaks for itself last year. But Riley, I've had some scouts tell me that, offensively, he's ready for the big leagues. Defensively, probably still a work in progress and has some ways to improve, before he gets to the big leagues. But as Snit said yesterday, he could make a real serious run and make it, a tough decision for him to be left off the opening day roster. But again, guys that aren't familiar with playing the outfield, what better resource to have than an Andrew Jones? If you're Johan Camargo and you're getting reps in the infield, what better guy to have than Chipper Jones? And we expect to see him at some point during camp. Dale Murphy always makes a stop through. We've seen Tom Glavine and Tim Hudson spend some time here in years past. So that's one of the things I think the Braves do a really good job of, is bringing back their Braves Hall of Fame players. And, if you're a young player, if you're a Ronald Acuna, if you're a Christian Pache and you're not taking advantage of that, shame on you. And, to a man, those guys have all been seen spending a lot of time, not only in the clubhouse, but on those backfields as well. And that can do wonders for these young players as they still continue to grow and develop.
Hey, by the way, when we start thinking about the everyday starting lineup, the starting rotation, the key roles as far as this Braves team, are any possibilities for somebody to show so much that they can earn not only significant playing time, but also starting roles?
Well, I think, again, right now, from a lineup standpoint, I wouldn't think there's a whole lot that's going to change, going into the season. Again, I could see, Riley maybe making a case to make the club, but then at the same time, if he's only going to be a bat off the bench, you'd love to see him playing every day at AAA. So that's probably the way they would lean. Right now, 8-man pen, 4-man bench, that's kind of where things are right now. And when you look at the bench, you're looking at guys like Culberson and Camargo, versatile guys that can play basically anywhere in the field that you want. You need those options when you're going with an 8-man pen. So, and it's funny too, I put this video out a few days ago. I did a little walk around the warning track with Charlie Culberson, and I said, how many gloves did you bring with you to spring training? He goes, well, I got my infielder's glove, I got a first baseman's glove, I got this. I also got a catcher's mitt this year, and I bought a pitcher's glove as well. And he told me in the offseason he was thinking about trying to throw some bullpen sessions down here. You'll recall he had that one appearance where he threw an inning last season. So, these guys are willing to do whatever it takes and, be put wherever they can help the team, whether it's their most comfortable natural spots or whether it's a guy like Charlie Culberson wanting to go pitch a little bit. That's kind of, how I see things right now with the bench. Obviously, the backup catcher would be there as well. So, again, really not a whole lot up for grabs as far as the everyday lineup goes. Things are pretty well set in stone, and that's a good non-issue to have at this point in spring training.
I know it's early, but we did this last year at this time. I mean, if you had to say right now how this season will play out, where would you have the Braves?
You know, I've toyed with this for a while. I think right now, and I know fans are going to probably not like when I say this, but I think right now, as the team is currently constructed, Vegas's numbers of 84 to 85 wins seem about right. And I say that because, and again, some fans are going to say, well, they won 90 games and you're telling me they got better. Well, yeah, they got better, but the National League East also got better. And it's not going to be an easy division. As Freddie Freeman told me, you could go to D.C. to play the Nationals and see Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, and then go to New York and see DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Wheeler. I mean, it's going to be a tough division. Pitching is really, really good. So right now, I think 84, 85 wins. If things break their way, like they did last year, maybe you're getting closer to 90. Does that get you in, though, this year? And that's the big question because, again, this National League is going to be very competitive. I don't know that mid-80s would get you into the postseason. But, again, as I mentioned earlier, I don't think this is a finished product yet. So there's still time for the Braves to add on a big name between now and opening day. Do they do it? Are they able to come to terms with somebody? We'll see. But if they do add it, say it's a Dallas Keuchel, and I'm not starting a Dallas Keuchel rumor, but if they were to add a Dallas Keuchel, I would say, yeah, maybe we could get tick it up closer to 90 when all was said and done.
Could you see that happening more, quicker than, say, the Braves trading away some of their prospects to bring in a DeGrom-type player?
I could, yeah. I mean, I think that, the Braves, they're really big on upside guys, and obviously a lot of these young arms. And it's the Goharas, the Toussaints, the Freed, the Sorokas of the world. These guys all had such tremendous upside where I think they're, they would hate to get, part with some of these guys. Now, that being said, you also have, eight or nine legitimate young arms in the organization. You don't have room for all of them. So, at what point do you start, parting with some of those guys? Maybe down the road it does happen. But, controllable guys with upside, you can never have too many of those. And again, you need that depth in your minor leagues as well, because we all know when you play 162 of these, especially from a pitching standpoint, you're going to need some extra depth there in the system. And they feel really good about these guys, again, with tremendous ceilings right now. And again, it's going to be fun to see how it all plays out during this little competition here in spring training.
This is a time of year, too. I always like to reflect back, and especially with what the Braves pulled off in the 90s. And I saw this stat. Somebody sent it to me this week on Twitter, and it was talking about Greg Maddux. In his career, he faced 20,421 batters during his career, right? Only 310 times he saw a 3-0 count on a batter. And of that number, 177 of those were intentional walks. So unintentionally, we're talking about 133 times he got behind 3-0 on a batter in his career.
Wow, there's a reason he's in Cooperstown. I mean, it really is remarkable when you look at those numbers. And I have fun with that, too. And Ben Ingram and myself, we'll kind of go through numbers sometimes. And say, can you believe this guy did that throughout the course of his career? But, look, when you're talking about Greg Maddux, I mean, obviously, those guys are a rare breed. And, pitching has changed a lot, even since guys like Maddux, Glavine, and Smoltz have retired. You've got so much has changed with specialized relievers and things like that. The number that has always blown my mind, Johnny, go back and look at how many times Tony Gwynn struck out in the course of his career. Off the top of my head, it's like 435.
Total.
I mean, there's guys that do that in 2.5 years. I mean, think about that. So, I mean, it is. It's remarkable when you reflect it. And again, it just goes to show you how special that group of guys was back in the 90s. And boy, to be Leo Mazzoni for that amount of time, huh?